What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
In today's episode, we've got some stories to talk about. In case you aren't subscribed, you definitely should do so. Subscribe down there, hit the bell to get all notifications. That way, you'll always be notified and get the Forever News. I got all the scoop. Definitely subscribe, hit that bell, and enjoy. Okay, people, so rumors are definitely very strong right now regarding the future of the Boruto anime, and in particular, the adaptation of some of the novels that take place during the Boruto timeline based on some stuff with one of the people that work over at the Boruto anime. I believe it's one of the producers or directors, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to talk about it. We finally got an update on Hell's Paradise anime incoming, an anime announcement for, from what I hear, is a very, very good manga, and I'm excited to bring you guys' attention to it. Some potential news, possibly in the realm of anime, for Mob Psycho 100. We'll talk. An update on Cowboy Bebop live action Netflix, and in particular, the Japanese side of things. We've got the top 10 selling series of the week for manga. An update on the next Dragon Ball Super superhero trailer. Small little piece of Bleach news. Couple of pieces of Attack on Titan anime news, including an apology from the creator Hajime Isayama. This is like the second or third apology he's had for various different reasons now at this point. Well, this is a different apology entirely. We'll talk about it. Small update for the My Hero Academia manga. The weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. An interesting look at the Seven Deadly Sins manga's sales, success, and then decline. Pretty significant update regarding Shonen Sunday and the editor-in-chief of Shonen Sunday stepping down. We'll talk. Small update for some new Chainsaw Man stories incoming. Disney is stepping in the anime realm. Oh boy, strap on your boots, fam. We'll talk. Very, very cool news regarding Kaiju number 8 taking over. Something interesting to note that I saw on the timeline regarding George Morikawa, the author of Hajime no Ippo, and One Punch Man and Kaiju number 8. And a small update on the One Piece anime, in particular regarding episode 1000. And yeah, people, those are the stories we have for today's episode. Without further ado, let's jump into another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it. No matter how you know, get it done. 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 Okay, people. So first on the docket, apparently over on Twitter, some fans were discussing what's going on with the future of the Boruto anime, and in particular, something was retweeted regarding the future of the Boruto anime and adapting novels. Right here says, the director of Boruto just retweeted a Boruto staff member's blog post. Oh, so it was actually a staff member's blog post that was actually talking about the Boruto novels, which talks about possible Boruto novel adaptations. And what the blog post had said was, now, since the original 54 chapters were animated in episode 218, there are only less than 10 chapters in stock. One anime episode digests one original story, basically one episode per chapter. Therefore, it is expected that the anime original or the novel versions will be drawn on a yearly basis in the future, meaning that there's going to be either anime exclusive episodes or stuff that is adapting the novels. It would be nice to see a depiction that reminds us of the parents' generation, referring to Naruto, Sasuke, and them. But since this is Boruto's show, you know, Boruto's main character in the works, it would be great if we could see something that can be called unique to the next generation that has advanced technology. Technologically, basically saying that it would be nice if also there could be stuff that is exclusive to, you know, Boruto's generation, because the novels really focus in on Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura, etc. And I'll be honest with you, my bias, which I'm allowed to, you know, tell you guys, hey, my bias, do the novels. I would love to see every now and then, yo, if you want to add in, how about do this, like, you know, happy medium, okay? Happy medium, let's do the novels with some inclusion of anime original stuff. Basically have two things going on at once. So while, let's just say, for example, one of the novels is a desperate attempt for Sasuke and Sakura to find the cure for Naruto's illness. While all that is going on, have Boruto and Sarada on their own little side quest mission, and you could kind of change off between, and maybe somehow, some way, they kind of intertwine at the very end of it all, so that way it kind of makes sense. But do the novels. Please do the novels. It'll keep the hype up as well, because right now a lot of people are hyped because not only, you know, the Boruto story has been hyped, but also again having the inclusion of Naruto and Sasuke alongside the main cast that is now starting to really come into their own, it will be a perfect blend. Have everybody doing something notable, especially because it'll keep the hype going very immensely. Like if you have the next generation combined with the new generation, keep the Naruto fans watching Boruto right now, you're golden. Please do the novels. Don't worry about like, no, we gotta go back. You did that for 200 episodes. You've done Boruto stuff. And yeah, Boruto's the main character, but it's Boruto, Naruto, Next Generations. That means it's both of them, okay? So that's just my opinion. But either way, the fact that he retweeted this means that possibly they're gonna do a combination of both. I don't know. Either way, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some of the novels adapted because I've heard that they're very, very heat. And I'm excited for that. Next up, fans of Hell's Paradise. Now, it was announced, I want to say, some months ago now at this point, that Hell's Paradise was going to be getting an anime adaptation. We haven't really heard anything since then. You know, the manga wrapped up not that long ago as well. Well, according to this, it says, new information regarding Jigoku Raku TV anime will be revealed in Jump Festa 2022. So expect them to talk about possibly what studio, maybe a trailer at this point, because the whole story is over at this point, similar to Chainsaw Man. So they could run straight through it if they like. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it because even though I got the manga volumes, honestly, I haven't gotten around to reading them yet, so I don't know if I'll be anime only by the time this comes out, which will be one hell of an experience because I've heard nothing but great things. But either way, Jigoku Raku, yeah, we're gonna get some updates in Jump Festa, which is only a few months away, right around the corner. Looking forward to that. Next up, now for years, probably I want to say it's at least been like a year and a half to 2 years, there was a couple of trusted Twitter users that have some very good taste that I know that have been tweeting at me like, yo fam, this shit is good, or I just see them in general raving about this series called Witch Hat Atelier, aka Tongari Boshi no Atelier, which is a manga created by Kamome Shirahama. It will be receiving an anime project. So it doesn't say anime adaptation. It could be a film. It could be an anime. All we know is that it's, you know, an anime project, which I'm looking forward to that because, again, I've heard nothing but amazingly good things about this series, and I've seen the art of the manga, so they better do it justice because the art of the manga looks fantastic. And yeah, I've heard that it's great. So they're doing some type of anime project, whether it be a movie, a TV series, whatever it may be. I'm looking forward to it. And again, the art, I mean, it looks kind of cool. It looks like it's, you know, wizards possibly, and you know, magical filled back in the day type of deal, but it looks pretty good. And I'm looking forward to whatever the heck this anime project is going to be, because this will probably be my gateway into the series. Not to mention, again, I've heard just nothing but great things about it. Next up, something very, very big for Mob Psycho 100 is about to happen. Now, for a little bit now, people have been telling me, yo, there's some sort of countdown going on the official Mob Psycho 100 Twitter. And it was just not that long ago, on the 12th, that it was at 93% that they posted. And then I want to say it was today, if I'm not mistaken, on the 14th, it was posted again, 95%. So every day is 2%. So basically, in 5 more days, we'll get to 100%, and I'm very curious to see what the heck this is going to be. Now, to my understanding, Mob Psycho 100, it's already over, the manga wrapped up, and there's not quite enough content, if I'm not mistaken, to actually do a full-blown other season. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but either way, I'm going to throw my hat in the race and say that when this reaches 100, we're going to get an announcement for Mob Psycho's movie, and it's going to be a movie that wraps up the entire story, adapting the last chapters, and maybe adding a little extra sauce in there. But that's what I'm imagining, because again, from what I remember back when I finished season 2, I looked up and I saw that there was not that many chapters left to adapt for a season, but that could mean that they're going to maybe do a movie. Either way, hopefully this 100% leads to something anime related. I love Mob Psycho. Mob Psycho is a very unappreciated series in my opinion. Like, season 1 was really dope. Season 2 took it to another level. I would love a film or a mini season 3, whatever you want to do, but either way, the fact that there's some traction, I'm excited for this, whatever this countdown leads to. Let's get it, baby. Oh my god, I still remember, I don't know, people loved the season 2's opening. I still can't get over, if everyone is not special. Oh my god. Ooh, I can't wait. Hopefully this is something good. Mob Psycho 100, baby. Next up, people that were hyped for Cowboy Bebop's Netflix live action, or people in general that are curious about it, apparently in their next attempt at getting people to check it out, out. According to this information, the original Japanese cast of voices are going to be reprising their roles for the Japanese dub of the Cowboy Bebop live action Netflix. It says, original Cowboy Bebop cast reprise roles for Japanese dub of live action series. Netflix announced on Wednesday that the Japanese dub of the live action adaptation of Sunrise's Cowboy Bebop anime will feature the original anime's cast reprising their roles. Taiten Kusunoki will replace the late Unsho Iizuka as the voice of Jet Black. Other new cast members include Masako Osobe as Mao, originally played by Kazuaki Ito, and Romy Park as Shin, whom Nobuyuki Hiyama voiced in the original anime. Netflix also revealed that it will stream the original anime worldwide outside Japan starting on October 20th. The anime is already streaming on Netflix in Japan, and the live-action series will premiere on November 19th, and the series will have 10 episodes. I mean, hey, I don't know anybody over here in the West that will be hyped like, oh, the original Japanese. Like, almost everybody watched the dub of Cowboy Bebop and are fans of the dub because it was on Adult Swim 100 billion times throughout all these freaking years, and Steve Bloom as Spike Spiegel. Like, I don't see people being hyped over here and sold like they're gonna have the original Jap. I'm just gonna watch it in dub. No. Or, well, yeah, that's crazy. In dub, but it means Japanese. Like, I don't see people doing that. I'm pretty sure they're gonna just stick with what we got. And yeah, I ain't gonna lie. What, we less than a month away? I'm going to check it out. I'm not saying that I'm gonna like it. I'm not saying also I'm going in there to dislike it. I'm gonna see what they do. Honestly, like, this is huge shoes to fill in terms of, like, yo, that anime, legendary. But I'm gonna go in, like I've said before, open-minded. And either way, hey, if all else fails, we could put on the Japanese version of the show. Why not? Like, no, we're not doing that. So yeah, people, if you want to watch Cowboy Bebop's live-action Netflix, you'll have the original Japanese voice actors voicing the characters. Yeah. Moving forward, we got the top 10 selling manga series of the week. Coming in at number 10, Blue Box, 81,000, which Blue Box is making waves, fam. Making waves. March comes in like a lion, 94,000. Don the Don, okay, so it must have released a new volume. Maybe volume 2 finally dropped. 97,865, which I'm imagining that's all probably almost just attributed to one volume dropping, which is still fantastic, honestly. 97,000. I mean, probably some back volumes in there too, because this is, again, the full series, not just one volume, but that's great. This is a new series, fam. Number 7. Wow, there's a lot of big heavy hitters that dropped this week. Number 7, Marshall, 112,823 this week. Black Clover, baby, Black Clover! Coming in with 119,569. So we probably got a new volume that dropped recently as well. 5-star stories. Well, yeah, it was volume 30 that we got that comment from Tabata. So yeah, new volume did drop. 5-star stories. I have no idea what that is. Number 4, Kimetsu no Yaiba, 218. I'm expecting those numbers are going to keep going, growing because new season is here. Tokyo Revengers and the... Whoa! Okay, very interesting. Tokyo Revengers, for the first time in a while, this week, starting to get dethroned. I don't know. 462,000 for Tokyo Revengers, while My Hero Academia, 545,000. It must have dropped a new volume as well or something. 545,463. And then number 1, the Crazy Kaisen, the Jujutsu Kaisen, 1.18 in a short week. Screw a press conference. Press this on your conscience. Cheers. Nah, shout out to Jadakiss. Yo, oh man, I ain't gonna lie. This is a very, very strong list of series here, from Jujutsu to My Hero, Tokyo Revengers, Demon Slayer, Black Clover, Marshall, Don the Don, even a newcomer like Blue Box. Yeah, stiff competition. Shout outs to all of them. Love to see it. Can't wait to see what the new volumes do, which we'll probably get those within the next few days. Hype stuff. Okay, people, next up, we got an update on the Abomination. We got an update on the Dragon Ball Super superhero film. Apparently, according to this, it says official Dragon Ball Super Twitter account just tweeted about crossing 250,000 followers, and in that they mentioned the next PV trailer will be full of Red Ribbon Army powerful secrets. I'm wondering, are we gonna go up against like some more androids? Like, are those superhero character models that they're like superheroes but they're apparently going to be villains or whatever, that are like, you know, attacking Earth and shit? Are those going to be like created robots similar to like 17 and 18 or something? Like, Red Ribbon Army this late in the game? We fought gods, literal gods of destruction, also sort. Like, how? How is the Red Ribbon Army doing anything? Like, Red Ribbon Army, it worked very well in Dragon Ball when things were grounded towards somewhat of reality. I mean, yes, Goku, we later find out, is a Saiyan, and during the series, he could turn into a great ape when he looked at the full moon. But in terms of combat and stuff like that, he was just like a really strong kid that, you know, he lost in the first World Martial Arts Tournament that he competed in again. Well, the first three, actually, whatever. But Red Ribbon Army worked fine because at that point, Goku was still a very naive little kid, oftentimes going off on his own in these very, very dangerous situations. But that's why it worked well. That's why they were able to get it done. On top of that, there was a lot of comedy involved in it. How is Red Ribbon Army going to do anything against Vegeta? This is a guy that, you know, he cares now, I guess, a little bit more, but he don't really care. I don't know, man. Maybe some aliens from another planet came over and they happened to crash into the Red Ribbon Army, you know, new headquarters or something, and they struck a deal like, yo, help us get our revenge for Dr. Gero or something. But like, Red Ribbon Army, man, you know, the more I think about it, I don't know. I mean, it could work. They've done a lot of crazy things, making Frieza go from how weak he was, you know, compared to where the Saiyans were at that point, to all of a sudden Golden Frieza from training. So you never freaking know with the Red Ribbon Army, but least hype I've ever been for anything Dragon Ball anime related, period. That's saying something. But we gotta wait and see. Either way, next trailer is gonna have a whole bunch of Red Ribbon Army. Okay, people, next up, this is something pretty freaking hype. According to this, it says, Bleach fans expect anime info on December 18th as a new domain was registered. So we'll probably be getting an update on, you know, the release date, because, wow, it's been already, what, going on 2 years, I want to say? Yeah, next year, a little bit into next year, will be 2 years deep since they announced, like, Bleach anime returning officially everywhere. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, they've held us down pretty well with that big chapter. We had Burn the Witch, and then we had this big Bleach chapter with all that stuff that's really, really awesome. You know, the return of hell and all sorts of crazy stuff. So Bleach has been nicely done thus far, but I ain't gonna lie, I'm ready for that anime. And if we're getting the big announcement December 18th, a new domain, I'm guessing if they've been working on it all this time, if it's in production all of this time, maybe summertime. Crazy guess, honestly, I don't know, but I'm guessing maybe summertime, maybe fall of 2022 we could see it. I mean, don't expect Bleach, you know, especially if it's being announced December 18th, you know, or if we're getting an announcement December 18th, don't expect right away to be showing up. But I'm guessing if we are going to get the big announcement, like, yo, this is when Bleach anime is returning, here's a trailer or something like that, we'll probably be getting the anime, again, I want to say maybe fall, the earliest of next year, which it's a ways off considering it's been like almost 2 years since they announced it. It almost feels like, yo, did they actually even really announce it, or are we dreaming? But don't forget, I want to say right around the time we got that big announcement was when everything happened with the pandemic. That slowed things down a lot, especially considering if they were trying to put their best foot forward and they weren't trying to half-ass it with bringing Bleach back with the anime and stuff like that, they probably needed, you know, a decent amount of time to be able to sit down and work. They were probably, when they announced it, just barely in pre-production, if that. So yeah, you're going to need extra time if you're trying to make it look really nice and have an impact, especially this is supposed to be wrapping things up. I'm just curious how much the episode count is going to be, because there was what? Ooh, I want to say like a couple of hundred chapters that they have to go through. It'll be ridiculous if they say, yo, here's 24 episodes to adapt it all. Like, realistically, as I've thought about it throughout time, that is probably not enough episodes. Like, probably 50 episodes would be, you know, the amount needed to adapt it all, but we gotta wait and see. Either way, December 18th, we'll get another update because a new domain was registered for Bleach, and I'm imagining they're probably prepping for next year, a big Bleach return, hopefully with a video game too. That'd be dope. Okay, people, next up, we got a couple of pieces of Attack on Titan news. For starters, we got an update on the upcoming season of the anime. It says, Attack on Titan, the final season anime's part 2 video reveals premiere on January 9th. The official website for the Attack on Titan, the final season anime, announced on Wednesday that the season's part 2 will premiere with episode 76, Sentencing, on the NHK General Channel on January 9th, 2022 at 24:05, effectively January 10th at 12:05 a.m. The website is also streaming a promo video for the anime. The second part will feature a returning staff, including director Yuichiro Hayashi at MAPPA, series scriptwriter Hiroshi Seko, character designer Tomohiro Kishi, and music composers Hiroyuki Sawano and Kota Yamamoto. The anime also features a returning cast, and I believe there's like a new trailer out or whatever, which, okay, nope. January 9th, we're going to begin Attack on Titan again to wrap things up. That was kind of, okay, good. good announcement. However, this one right here was interesting because according to this, it says Attack on Titan creator Hajime Isayama apologizes to MAPPA for difficult scenes. He said, I'm really looking forward to the start of the second final season. Even in the original, it was a really difficult drawing, and I'm very sorry that MAPPA will have a hard time again for many scenes that the assistants has had hard time, but I'm sorry. The difficult scenes I'm looking forward to the most. I hope that people who see it for the first time in anime will also enjoy it. Yo, it's been 2021, nothing but an apology tour for Hajime Isayama. Like, first, he apologized about the ending of the actual original manga. Now he's apologizing to MAPPA. Like, yo, my bad on how difficult, which, yeah, it does get pretty difficult, I'd imagine, to animate what happens in certain parts of the manga at this point, or what's going to happen, I guess, in this season of the anime, because it kind of gets very, I don't want to say dramatic, but it gets kind of like, imagine animating a mech anime with these giant robots and things like that. It kind of has that same action-packed nature, so to speak, of what's to come with the anime. So yeah, I'm guessing that's what he's apologizing about. But either way, it's about time, you know? Attack on Titan ended, I want to say it was this past spring. Let's get this anime going, finish off the final season, and see what's to come. Because I have no doubt in my mind that there's going to be more Attack on Titan. I don't know in what form, what nature, whatever, but based on the ending of the original manga, no spoilers at all, I can say that I feel like there's going to be more Attack on Titan at some given point. I don't know if it'll be penned by Hajime Isayama. I don't know what's to come for Isayama himself, but I'm almost certain that this is the final season of Attack on Titan. However, there's going to be more of this universe somehow, some way moving forward, but that's just me. Either way, Isayama apologizing again, and also we got the official confirmation that Attack on Titan's final season, second half, will be premiering January 9th, or I guess midnight on the 10th, depending on how you look at it, which we'll probably be getting it, I'm guessing, like early on the 9th, because, you know, we're what, 14 hours, 13 hours behind Japan or something like that. Moving forward, we got a small update for My Hero Academia's manga. According to this, My Hero Academia will be on break next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 47, and the series will resume in issue number 48 as scheduled. So it's par for the course. You already know how it is, the Jump authors, which it's good. I'm very happy. I've said this and I'll keep saying it so that people could understand. It's a positive thing that we get these breaks. It's a positive thing because it allows these authors to recharge a bit. They seemingly are getting regular breaks here and there. I want to say it's kind of almost like what Oda, the creator of One Piece, has had for years now, where every few weeks, like probably, I want to say what, every fifth or sixth chapter or something like that, they're allowing the authors to go on break, which they need it. These are human beings that they work 20-something hour schedules and stuff to deliver this stuff to us. Yeah, let them have their breaks. My Hero Academia, it's right now really, really good. I'm really loving where it's at. So yeah, get your break and come back and get even better. Okay, people, y'all know what time it is. It's that time for the Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Starting off, we got Hiro Mashima, creator of Fairy Tail Eden Zero. I beat Lost Judgment. The narrative was super heavy, but that's what made it interesting. Yet again, Hiro Mashima talking about video games. This man is a gamer for real. Number one mangaka gamer in the world. I have to stamp it. It's the truth. Like, he just is. Then we got Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. I'm putting the handheld game I bought for work to good use, meaning he's gaming as well. Yo, the Weekly Shonen Magazine authors, they really love to game. That's kind of cool. They probably have some sort of bond or something. George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo, said, I realize now how gentle charities are. Okay, that's dope. That means that he's getting into the charitable business. Dope stuff there. Not business, but seemingly he's just taking an interest in being charitable, which that's always a dope thing. Atsushi Okubo, author of Fire Force, said, I haven't been able to go cycling like I want to because the weather is great until I have a day off where it rains. So I've been doing a lot more gaming instead. Third mangaka to talk about gaming. Hey! Maybe gaming is like becoming more of a thing lately over there. I don't know. I mean, gaming has been a thing, you know, for a long time, but they've really been on their gaming business. Then lastly, we got Nakaba Suzuki, author of The Seven Deadly Sins and now Four Nights of the Apocalypse. Taiwanese jasmine tea is delicious. I'ma drink a bunch. Dope. Dope, dope, dope. I love to see that he's in good spirits. And yeah, people, those were the Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. A lot of gaming going on. And George Morikawa, like, yo, I'm taking an interest in charity, fam. So dope stuff, and I'm not trying to make fun of it, because that's really, really dope for authors. Like, didn't Oda, Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece, just donate, like, $3 million or $7 million, something crazy like that, to his hometown? Like, that's dope stuff. And while we just talked about Makabu Suzuki, let's talk a little bit about his Seven Deadly Sins manga and the sales, which I've been watching the anime lately. Finally, I'm getting through the final season. That's a different story for a different day. Joe's underscore K, the guy that he's been providing a lot of these really interesting sales stats, showcased a graph of the Seven Deadly Sins' manga sales. Now, it looks as though right around the time that the anime really took off, especially leading into 2015, it seems like the peak for the Seven Deadly Sins manga sales was around 2015, but you can see, like, it goes from really, really low, and then it skyrockets to the top, and then gradually goes down. Like, some series, they see kind of significant stay at a certain point, but it was kind of like, after that high, it just kept going down, 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 and that's probably why he decided to end it, because literally, almost every volume sold worse than the previous volume. Like, it just kept on going downhill, which it really sucks, because I really love the Seven Deadly Sins. And even though the anime isn't stellar by any means in terms of animation and as an adaptation in general, I'm having a pretty good time with the final season right now. I ain't gonna lie, I'm about like seven episodes into the finale, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. So, well, you know, considering everything, you know, involved. But it's kind of crazy to see that, especially, I want to say it was like 2014, 2015, Seven Deadly Sins was like the number two highest selling manga of that year, only being beaten out by One Piece, to go from that to kind of just slowly fading away. Like, it seems like maybe the Ten Commandments thing wasn't the most popular over there in Japan, because I want to say that was around the time that it was like in the Ten Commandments stuff, slowly leading into the future of it, and then it just kept on significantly dropping after that. It's sad, but yo, it had its run. I mean, what, almost 40 million copies, 37 million copies in circulation. Not bad at all. Shout out to the Seven Deadly Sins. I really, really love that series regardless. Okay, people, next up, something pretty significant that I'm sure is going to impact the manga industry, but especially over there at Shogakukan's publishing, because according to this, Shonen Sunday editor-in-chief Takenori Ichihara steps down after 6 years. Takenori Ichihara announced on Wednesday that he has stepped down as editor-in-chief of Shogakukan's weekly Shonen Sunday magazine after 6 years and 3 months. In case you don't know about Shogakukan, they're the people that have Case Closed Detective Conan. He became editor-in-chief in 2015. Kazunori Oshima will be the new editor-in-chief. Ichihara stated on Twitter that the magazine had been in an unprecedented crisis, but dramatically improved business performance during his tenure, and he is passing it on to the next generation. Ichihara had the second longest tenure out of all of the magazine's editor-in-chiefs. Kazuki Tanaka holds the magazine's record for longest tenure as editor-in-chief. Takenori served the role from 1976 through 1984, so about 8 years. Ichihara personally made decisions on manga content, from debut one-shots from new talents to new series from veteran writers, based on his preferences and aesthetic. As such, he said he would take full responsibility for the fate of the magazine. Ichihara considered fostering the talent of new manga artists the magazine's biggest priority. His vision for the magazine included experienced writers for a mix of new and old. Ichihara says he was primarily a Shonen Sunday fan as a kid, and it just says, like, info about Weekly Shonen Magazine. Some of the big titles in there right now are Detective Conan, Inuyasha, that was in there, Major, Komi Can't Communicate, which I want to say just got an anime out right now, and yeah, it's definitely going to impact things. Obviously, like, if it's a lot of the things that came into the magazine is due to his preference and him saying, yeah, give it a go, then the new person, we're going to be going under his guidelines, which could change some things, to be honest with you, of like the three main big magazines of like Weekly Shonen Jump, Weekly Shonen Magazine, and Weekly Shonen Sunday. Weekly Shonen Sunday is far behind. Shogakukan as a publisher is far behind the other two. Maybe this new guy could come and shake things up a little bit, get some traction going for the magazine, because it could really use it. I ain't gonna lie, Shonen Sunday isn't the biggest deal, and you can't bank on Detective Conan forever. Eventually, Conan gotta end, and then what's gonna happen? But either way, just shout outs to him, and thank you for your service in the manga industry and running this magazine for a bit. Next up, we got an interesting reveal for the upcoming Chainsaw Man novel, Chainsaw Man Buddy Stories novel, and oh my god, I'm not even gonna lie, I hands down have to get my hands on this. I'm sure they're gonna release it in English, because I know Chainsaw Man is selling pretty freaking well. Like, I can never find it anywhere. Like, it's always sold out everywhere, and it's a cover of Denji with Power, and oh my god, I love this cover. I really, really love this cover. Big, big facts. And it says, Sakaku Hishikawa, the author of Jigoku Raku, which is the, you know, Hell's Paradise manga, wrote the novel based on the storyline by Tatsuki Fujimoto, and it will be released on November 4th. Oh my god, I need this novel. It takes certain novels for me to read, just be honest. I read a whole bunch of stuff. I watch a whole bunch of subtitle anime. Like, you know what I'm saying? I read a lot, all these articles, to make sure I bring you guys the news and stuff. But this is a novel right here that not only the cover is just Chainsaw Man in general. I'm dying for some new Chainsaw Man story. And even though it's being penned by the author of Hell's Paradise, which is also another, from what I've heard, great author, still, it's Chainsaw Man, baby. And it's under the guidance, seemingly, of Tatsuki Fujimoto. Let's go, baby, with this cover. Oh my god, it looks so good. Yeah, I know, I'm just simping for that power greatness. Yeah. Okay, people, next up, it seems as though Disney is heading in the direction of getting anime titles. It seems as though they're starting to put anime on their Disney Plus subscription. According to this, it says Disney Plus will be getting Black Rock Shooter Downfall or Dawnfall, Summertime Rendering, and the Tatami Galaxy sequel, Johan Time Machine Blues by Science Saru, as well as something called Twisted Wonderland. And basically, it looks like Disney is trying to slowly start their way into the anime industry. If they're starting to get titles now on their Disney Plus streaming app, then more than likely they're probably starting their I don't want to say ascension, because I'll just keep it real, I'm not too fond of the choices that Disney has made in recent times, and just in general, like, yeah, like, yo, y'all got a whole stronghold on a ton of things, like them creeping into the anime industry. Next thing you know, 5 years fast forward, they own Toei Animation and Dragon Ball and One Piece and stuff like that. Like, that is not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something that I'm too keen of. So, yeah, seeing them, I mean, at the end of the day, the titles that they got aren't anything out of this world. In fact, from what I remember, I wasn't a fan of Black Rock Shooter because it just seemed like some lowly shooting anime. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Black Rock Shooter fans, please don't kill me. But from what I remember, I was like, I don't want to see lowly shooting guns. Sorry, no. So, yeah, but it seems as though Disney Plus is slowly starting. Keep an eye on them, people. Y'all know what Disney do. Y'all know how they do. Like, we already got a bunch of pretty big competitors. Netflix is starting to really try and make waves. Crunchyroll and Funimation just got announced that they're both owned by Sony now, and they're essentially possibly going to be combining soon. Disney Plus, I mean, more competition is always good, but Disney is different. Disney, there are some conquistadors when it comes to media at this point. They own everything. Like, stay away from anime, please. Just unless you're going to do some great things, then by all means. But again, I don't want to fast forward, and a decade from now, I'm looking at Goku and Mickey Mouse. Like, no. But either way, Disney is slowly starting to creep their way into the anime market. Okay, people, this is not an anime-related story, but this is for Never News, so I wanted to include it in here. Yennefer of Vengerberg is destined to survive at Witcher Netflix Season 2 debuts December 17th. Destined to survive. I've seen The Witcher 1, and I will be tossing a coin to my Witcher, O Valley of Plenty. Like, yo! Witcher Season 2, release date December 17th. Y'all know what I'm gonna be doing on December 17th. I'm going to be all eyes on Yennefer, okay? Like, Witcher fans, yeah, I just had to throw this in there because I really like The Witcher and I can't freaking wait to see more. It's been a couple years now at this point, I want to say, since we've gotten some, and yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do it. Next up, huge stuff for the kaiju. Kaiju number 8 apparently was plastered on the side of a giant freaking skyscraper, I believe over in France. Let's check out what's going on. Kaiju number 8 mural looms over France's National Library. A 45 meter tall mural of an illustration of Naoya Matsumoto's Kaiju number 8 manga is currently spread across the building of the Bibliotheca Nationale, France's National Library in Paris. The mural is part of an ongoing exhibition being held by French anime and manga publisher Kaze to commemorate the release of Kaiju number 8's first volume in France. The exhibition started on October 6th, the same day as the volume's release, and will run until October 15th. So you got until tomorrow if you're in France to check this thing out. And it just looks insanely dope to see. Like, holy cow, they got that on the side of a freaking building. The kaiju, baby, let's go. I've been telling y'all for a little minute now, in case you don't know, Kaiju number 8 is probably going to be somewhat of the spiritual successor to Attack on Titan. Not in the most serious way, because Titan was way more like serious, but Kaiju number 8 has that kind of vibe, and at the same time, it is already exploding over there in Japan. Like, 3 or 4 volumes out, over 4 million sales, really, really big stuff, fast fastest selling Jump Plus title out there, and it's pretty freaking good. I'm only a few chapters behind again because I usually let them stack up because they do like 2 chapters a month or something like that. So yeah, Kaiju number 8, baby, on the side of a freaking building. Let's go. Okay, people, next up, something that I saw on the Twitter timeline that kind of caught my interest. I seen that George Morikawa was posting a whole bunch of tweets, and then I seen, I want to say it's Yusuke Murata, the artist of One Punch Man. He responded, he put like, oh ho ho, or something like that. I was like, well, what's going on here? And apparently, from what I can gather, because the translator on Twitter isn't the greatest, it seems as though George Morikawa was praising 2 series in particular, One Punch Man and Kaiju number 8, for their panel layout. Again, we'll read it so you guys could get a somewhat of an idea, but it's just the translations aren't the greatest. Watching electronic publishing become more widespread, I always said there is no Tezuka in the electronic, and I'm guessing he's referring to the way it comes out, like the way you look at manga on a phone and the paneling and all that. The gaze guidance that Mr. Tezuka showed on the paper was ridiculous. When it comes to reading on a smartphone, I think that will change again. Even though it is written, it is easy to read. The first one, I answered that it was a One Pun Man, which he's talking about One Punch Man. Furthermore, I think Kaiju number 8 is aware of that. So essentially saying the answer to, like, you know, getting it right is One Punch Man. Likewise with Kaiju number 8. In fact, it is often difficult to read with a multifaceted camera arrangement, but it does not make you feel it at all. It is great technology to be able to follow the actions without slipping, even on a small screen. That Kimo, I think it's still in the frame division. The characteristics of paper and electronic are different, but I think the most difficult thing in manga is frame division. It can be said that all manga artists are worried. The person who controls the frame division controls the world. I also lifted the electronic band, so I will read One Punch Man number 8 and study more. 4-frame comics are a different story. So basically, he's saying that on a smartphone, you can't get the same experience with manga as you can on paper because you're restricted to this small screen opposed to like a giant book, also electronic. It's a little bit different as well. However, he's saying that One Punch Man and Kaiju number 8 are few of the series that actually understand how to do it digitally and give you that same experience that Osamu Tezuka, you know, the arguable god of manga, the godfather of manga, that gave you all those years ago on paper and pen. And then again, the artist of One Punch Man, Murata, Yusuke Murata, I think he even wrote something along the lines of like, oh my god, I gotta tell one, the writer, like, I'm getting so much praise from George Morikawa. So that's really, really dope. Honestly, in general, it's interesting to just see like the old timers. It's kind of like, you know, the old heads of hip hop that are talking about like auto-tune now. That's pretty much what you're getting right here with George Morikawa, except he's praising some of the new guns. He's like, yo, you know, this new dude right here, pretty dope. Honestly, that was kind of me up until, I want to say maybe 2017, when I first got hip to XXXTentacion. Then I was like, oh, these new kids, they saying something. They got something to say. I ain't gonna lie. It was X that really got me to be a little more accepting of the new generation. And then little by little, I was like, I there's some good. There's some good stuff out there. And it seems to be the case with George Morikawa that he's like, yeah, this new technology, I'm not a fan of it, but that one guy and yeah, that Kaiju number 8 stuff, they're doing it right. Okay, people. And lastly, One Piece. Apparently, according to this, One Piece episode 1000 will be airing on November 21st, which it makes sense because we got chapter 1000 on January of this year, which is about 12 months. So pretty much 10 months later, we're getting episode 1000, which means that the anime is only basically 10 months away from the manga, which is absolutely insane. I can't even imagine what the schedule is like for a One Piece animator. The fact that you got 10 months to get it from manga to the best you possibly can in anime form, with the glitz, the glamours, the voice acting, music, everything above, that is insane. On top of that, how the hell, you know, you gotta stretch a lot of this content because you're doing less than it. Oh my god. It sounds like a freaking nightmare to me, but yeah, that's crazy. Episode 1000, November 21st, which again, I'm imagining is going to adapt the same stuff that chapter 1000 did into the anime, based on the way they're hyping things up, and you see Luffy and Kaido and stuff. It looks to be that way, which I'm here for it, baby. Let's go. One Piece episode 1000, November 21st. I might actually even do a live reaction to it. But that's all I have for this one, people. I'm curious what you guys think. The most important story to you for this episode, the ones that stood out to you, the ones that caught your attention, or just in general, what you come normally and regularly for Never News. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed. If you liked anything I had to say or enjoyed the video, drop me a like. I'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want more from me, make sure to subscribe. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram. Hit that bell to get all notifications. And if you want to follow any of my other social media, links are in the description below. I'm Finneb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule.
Anime and manga
for life, boy.
Have an awesome day. Peace in. And you just watched another episode of
Whatever News.
Have an awesome day. To find me.